Good morning. It's a joy for Carol and me to be with you again. We were here last year following the MOP, the Missionary Orientation Program, at Greenwood Hills, and another good group. I was thrilled just to see all the youth in that men's choir, too. So, wow, so much potential, and what a blessing it is to know the Lord and let Him use us for the purposes for which He made us. We're going to be taking a ride into kind of a couple subjects that really mesh together, and integrated with it will also be a missions report of something of what we're seeing God do, not just in recent times, but also over the last 40 years. I want to just say, too, there's a table on the back, in case I forget. Just please go, and it's our chronological resources, discipleship resources, and please feel free to help yourself to a sample of whatever you think you can use while supply lasts. And don't miss this one. There's a DVD called Spiritual Warfare in the Amazon Jungle. It also has King of Glory and, for this reason, the shorter version of King Glory on it. And it's powerful, and you'll see why you want to especially get it today, because we're going to talk on that very subject. I know that a few of you were at, when I spoke on spiritual warfare at the MOP, this will be somewhat different. We had some technical difficulties, unsurprisingly, when you're talking about spiritual warfare. But we're going to tie this all together, Lord willing. So, God is a God of multiplication. See that in how He designed the cells to reproduce. And we're going to be talking so about spiritual warfare and missions and multiplication. They go together. Senegal, a lot of this information will come from that land in which my wife and I have been connected for 41 years now. I'm just going to put some verses up, and you'll see this happen sometime this morning, occasionally during the course of our time together, but we're not going to necessarily read them. They're there to stir your minds up by way of remembrance of that this is in the Bible. And so in the very first chapter of the Scriptures, we see that God is a God of multiplication, how He causes the all the animals and plants to be able to reproduce and let the oceans teem with living creatures. And then He says to Adam and Eve, whom He created in His image, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. My mind goes, too, to the story of Abraham, called out of his idolatrous family situation. And God says, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and through you all nations on earth will be blessed. He would bring forth the prophets, the Scriptures, and the Savior of the world Himself through that nation of Israel. The very Great Commission, as we call it, is about multiplication, making disciples. As you go, make disciples of all nations. And then I think of the final book in Scripture, and there you see this multitude taken out of every tribe, tongue, and nation standing before the throne, giving glory to the Lamb. Spiritual warfare. If I could distill it into just a few words, I really do like this phrase a lot. It's found six times in the Psalms and elsewhere in Scripture as well. Arise, O Lord. We read a number of spiritual warfare passages this morning. In fact, if you consider the Scripture from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20, I say those because the first two chapters is the world of perfection, and the last two chapters is the world of perfection. But you see spiritual warfare going on. Just to flesh this particular little verse out, it's, Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, a relationship. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Think of the devil who goes about like a roaring lion. He's been disarmed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people, Selah. Stop and think about that one. Arise, O Lord. And so you have this story of the evil one, and he uses one of God's creatures to tempt the woman, and he uses the woman to entice the man, all to get sin and shame into the world and to try to steal and God's creation and destroy His plan. We still live in that same world today, don't we? And then the promised Savior, the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman is promised and comes in the fullness of time and takes on the devil, not in a perfect garden, but in a hostile desert. And he has no sin, can do no sin. And he, while he's on earth, he goes about, and wherever he goes, Satan's kingdom is being pushed back. The curse is being rolled back. But it was just a little picture of what's to come. but he showed himself to be the Word made flesh, the Lord of glory, the Son of God. And he goes to the cross. He takes on Satan there. Satan thinks he has the upper hand, but he did not. Arise, O Lord. I love this one, Colossians 2:13-15. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You know, everything we're touching on this morning could be expounded on. We're not going to do that. We're going to move on. And here we are this morning saying, giving thanks, joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. We've been brought back to God, the forgiveness of sins. Praise his name. And here's another one we want to think about. My old self has been crucified with Christ as a believer. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Don't you love that? Spiritual warfare, how does it work? Well, one place we could go is 2 Corinthians 10. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons, I'm talking about those, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Spiritual warfare. Here's some basics on a practical, personal level. Who we fight, what we fight, and how we fight. Yes, we have the devil, who uses the world to stimulate people to turn away from things of the Lord, from the Lord himself. And then there's that internal solicitation as well, the flesh, that is contrary to the will of God. Ephesians 6, that's the classic. Love to go through it this morning. We're not going to do that again. We're just stirring up our minds and thinking on some of these issues. It instructs us on the who, what, and how of the Christian's combat. And we want to study that passage. We want to memorize it. We want to know it. We want to be able to have it as a weapon in our arsenal. We might be using it before we get out of bed in the morning to quote those weapons. I love that word, finally, in 6:10. In other words, we've just seen this wonderful depiction of Christ's work for us, our identity with him, and then how we're to live as his followers. In light of who we are and what we have in Christ and how we are to live as his holy people, here are three things we must do to stand firm as Christians. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God and praying always in the Spirit. That's the air we breathe, our relationship with the Lord. Yes, I'll go ahead and put this up. We're not going to read it, but there's the passage. Who we fight? Well, it's not flesh and blood. It's not our neighbor. It's not political leaders. It's the powers of the air that work in the sons of disobedience. It's the devil and his hosts. What we fight? Well, we fight the schemes of the devil, and we'll talk some more about those. How we fight? That's what it goes on to explain. Putting on these different pieces of armor. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Here's just a quick look at those pieces of armor. The enemy's weapons, and we have the armor of God to combat the devil's schemes. This theme runs throughout the scriptures, as I mentioned, from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20, before or after the perfect world, the curse came in, and then once we get to the perfect world, but we're in the middle of it still. And so we have these arms. I like that phrase from Acts 17, talks about these as they were being, Jason and his friends, they wanted to get to Paul and Barnabas, but instead they're dragging the disciples there, and they're crying against these men because they say, these are the men who turned the world upside down. They've come here too. Actually, what they were doing is turning the worldview right side up the way it should be. But here we go. Satan brings on his lies, and we come with the belt of truth. We stand, I should say, in the belt of truth. He comes with his temptations to help us, cause us to do something impure, and we have the breastplate of righteousness. He comes with condemnation, and we are shod, our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. We stand in that gospel, the finished work of Christ. He wants us to fear. Fear is always of Satan. It's never of God, unless you're talking about the true fear of the Lord, the good respect. We come with the shield of faith and take and defend against his attacks. Destruction, we have the helmet of salvation. And anti-God worldviews, that's what the world's full of. Rebellion against the creator, owner, redeemer of this universe is glorified. You can, people are just think it's a great thing to do that. But we have the word of God, and we've been talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Distractions, plenty of those to go around. Well, we have the atmosphere of prayer that we can live in. A working definition, just kind of putting some different thoughts together. Spiritual warfare refers to the unseen but real battles in which God's people stand in God's strength against the invisible forces of evil led by Satan, whose strategy is to wear out God's people, deceive, discourage, divide, distract, defile, etc., and to wreck, destroy, or diminish God's purposes to bring souls to himself and glory to his name. And I'd like just to take a moment to look at the story of Nehemiah. I have loved this story for decades now. It just is so encouraging because it's the kind of thing we face in everyday life, isn't it? Let's just consider it quickly, just a brief outline here. If you ever want me to send you an outline like this, just let me know. I know you can't write it down, but that's okay. So we have this man of vision. We saw the backstory for that in Lamentations this morning. So Jerusalem destroyed, and he's weeping and praying and fasting. And then we read about God, what my God, a relationship, right? Put in my heart to do. Isn't that great? And so the enemy, as Nehemiah goes on the mission, taking along many of God's people with him, he wants Nehemiah to doubt the word that he had received from the Lord. But Nehemiah has confidence in God and his word. Again, I'm not going to flesh this out. He wants to discourage Nehemiah. He wants to discourage us in the work. Oh, even if a fox jumped on your wall you're doing, it would fall over. And Nehemiah is in communion with God. The battle is the Lord. He will see us through. He wants to divide us in our witness. And that's exactly what we see happening in chapter 5 when there's people charging usury, causing others to become slaves, and just taking advantage of one of another. And the antidote was conviction from God. Nehemiah says, this is not right. And God brings conviction of sin and deliverance. He wants to distract us in the way. They come to Nehemiah and say, come on, we want to come talk to you. I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down, says Nehemiah. Consecration to the Lord and his work. Defile us in our walk. That's where they want to get him, Sanballat, Tobiah, and all those guys, they want to get him to come into the temple, go into the temple, which he wasn't to do. He wasn't a priest. And he has courage to confront sin and does not fall to the enemy's schemes. And what happens at 52 days after he began the project? The wall is finished. Wow. More than conquers through him that loves us. A character study of Nehemiah, he was a man of devotion, vision, production, determination, conviction, and perception. And why do we want to look at stories like this in the Bible? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, lest we give him a foothold in our life, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Sorry, we're not sorry, Satan, we are not ignorant of your devices. And we want to walk with our God and do the things he puts in our heart to do and what he's told us to do right in his book. Spiritual warfare. All right, we're moving on to the missions and multiplication part here. Senegal, West Africa, and the world. We're going to tell some war stories. Sorry, went a little faster. We're going to tell some war stories from Senegal and other parts of the world, spiritual war stories. And we'll start with when the Lord took us to Senegal in 1981. We have three kids, and this was with our 1.5-year-old boy that we arrived. Here's our family. We thank the Lord for, again, the process of multiplication and the privilege of being able to raise them for the Lord and see them now raising their kids for the Lord. That's the latest, named Priyanka's little one. Senegal on the western tip of Africa there. We spent our first year in Dakar, the capital, and then we moved on up to San Louis on the border of the Islamic Republic of Mauritania. Spiritual warfare. It's a land of dry in the north and more wooded in the south, but that sand can bring forth fruit and it can bring forth life. Been impressed during the 3-month rainy season how that happens. The dust storms come in. It's a Sahel region, transition between North Africa, the Sahara, and the tropical South Africa. People are precious, and they're brought up in a religion that says something similar at times, but mostly opposite to what the Bible teaches. The ground in which they sow their seed is fertile during the rainy season, as I said. Don't miss the antenna back there. That's useful. The Lord's going to let us use that later on, as we'll see here. He's let us use it. What do you think this is, piles of? Some of you probably know. That would be peanuts. Yeah, Senegal is one of the world's largest exporter of peanuts. You know how to load those trucks. Islam is the dominant religion there. 95% are followers of Islam. Islam is, well, it means submission, and Muslims mean those who are submitted ones, to the dictates of Islam. But what we see as believers, we see a system, threefold system in Islam, but we see souls for whom Christ died that have to go to bed at night with this knowledge or lack of knowledge that there's no possible way I can know where I'm going when I die. I have to wait for the day of judgment. Only Allah knows. That's how they live their lives. And that's not how God intended for us to live our lives. It's a threefold system, political system, with the goal, according to the Quran, to dominate the world. That's just a verse, I won't read it, but it shows that even the people of the book are to be in submission, that's the Christians and Jews, to be in submission to Islam. It's a religious system. You know the five pillars, witness, prayers, almsgiving, fast, Ramadan, and the pilgrimage, if possible, to Mecca. But what I want to point out here is we broke bread this morning, and we remembered the person and the work of Christ. Well, Islam says it is not befitting, the Quran says, to the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son. And so they're saying no to the divine person of Christ. He was a great prophet, amazing characteristics they give him, actually, but he was not the Son of God. He was not God in the flesh, according to Islam. And they deny the crucifixion of Christ. So we've also remembered the blood of Christ, and that also is denied in Islam. So the core teachings of Scripture are denied in Islam, that is, concerning the person and work of Christ. It's not only a political system and a religious system, but it's a cultural system. If you think that Islam is just a part of their life, you would be incorrect. Islam dominates every aspect of their lives. Their lives are hidden in Islam, you might say, just like our lives should be hid with Christ in God. And so from birth to going to Quranic school as little kids, before they even get a chance to go learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, to this lonely lady facing towards Mecca doing her prayers in Arabic, a language she doesn't even speak, to nearing life's end and finally death, it dominates their lives, cultural system. We arrived there on May 15th, 1981, with our little boy, and, sorry, hesitation, I can use this here. Here we go. So again, just remembering the context in which people are there of Islam, And here's something we've heard often from Muslims. We believe in Jesus and all the prophets. Why don't you believe the prophet Muhammad? And so early on, that was heavy on my heart. My very first Wolof language teacher was telling me those things. And I said, Lord, how can we communicate the gospel to those who have learned the opposite from their youth? And I happened to be reading the book of Acts at the time, and this verse first hit me, the story of Cornelius, and then others. But all the prophets testify about him, about Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Or how about Paul before Agrippa? I stand here today saying nothing except what Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and the prophets said should come to pass, that the Christ would be one to suffer and to die and be the first to rise from the dead and to proclaim light to the nations. And so that became our methodology, just as Jesus used on the road to Emmaus. He explained to them in all the scriptures of the prophets the things concerning himself. And so the Lord impressed this on our hearts. Point Muslims to the message of the very prophets their religion commands them to respect and believe. And there's a lot could be said about that, but it names about 20, 25 prophets in the Bible, and they're supposed to honor them and honor the ancient scriptures of the Torah, the Psalms, and the Gospel. And so there's a chink in Islam's armor. Hey, they're taught to believe these previous prophets. Let's tell them what these prophets said. I want to tell you just little backstories here. We'll go through them just briefly. But after 2 years in the country, we felt the Lord leading us to open a book room. And there was one in town, and I was looking at, I wasn't sure if we should take it, rent it. But I said to Carol that night, and you see the kids, and we were reading through Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. And I said, maybe the Lord will give us the word tonight in that reading. And this is how it ended. Fear not is the Lord's command and his divine encouragement to those who are at his bidding are launching upon new seas. The divine presence and preservation forbid so much as one unbelieving fear. Without our God, we should fear to move. But when he bids us to, it would be dangerous to tarry. Reader, go forward and fear not. Having just said before we read it, maybe the Lord will show us, we rented the book room, as you can imagine. The funny thing was, the next evening, we realized that we had read the wrong devotional. It was the 11th that happened, and we had read the one for the 12th. So the Lord can direct us in interesting ways to get the word to us that we need. That's the book room. We actually had that for a year, moved to a different one in another location, but the Lord used that. We had, in this first book room, literally in the first 2-3 months we were there, there was a guy that at first acted like he was going to follow Jesus, and then he said, if I had a match and some gasoline, I would love to burn all your books in this room. As he was before his Muslim friends, that's what he said to them. Scroll forward to 1986. We had four guys come up from another church in Dakar, and they worked with us in outreach for two weeks. We had a lot of just in the word time, prayer, and reaching out, Gospel of John's and other things to a large bit of the population of the 120,000 people in San Luis. And during that time, it was interesting. There was somebody that criticized, it was a believer, that criticized us for having these guys up and so on. And I won't go into the details, but I'll just say that Nehemiah, the division, remember that? We've seen that too. And that particular year, we saw a lot of division potentially forming amongst God's people. But in the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord said, I pray that you will be one. And I'm not going to take to read this now, but it's a poem I wrote. I can read it. Go ahead. The Lord gave me this poem. I've only written two poems in my life, so I'm not a poet. But I'll read it quickly. This is what was impressed on me as I saw the Lord's people being criticized when the enemy is out there, right? Jesus said, wash your brother's feet. We instead criticize him and say, with him I could not meet. Jesus taught that by love shall all men know, but we insist, hold our every interpretation or go. Jesus prayed that they may all be one. We cut our brother's service to the ground and whisper, that's not how it's done. Jesus said that unity is I in them and they in me. But we say unity we want, but our way you must see. The Lord says you have need of one another, but in our hearts we think, I cannot stand that brother. Again, he says, don't judge my servant while we whisper of our sister, she just isn't fervent. All right, your attitude is sin, says God. I hate division, but I can't fellowship with him. He's not of our tradition. The final word is mine, God declares. Your brother is in the beloved and accepted. but we at our brother just stare and in our hearts affirm rejected. It's a little bit harsh and overplayed probably, but it's what the Lord gave me at that time. So in that same year, we had, after these guys left, about just a few weeks later, as I write up here, had a tough day in the book room, just a lot of people, you know, rejecting the gospel. And I was sitting out there after Carol and the kids were in bed, and I just said, Lord, are we in the right place? Kind of doubt that they were trying to sow in Nehemiah's mind. Are we in the right place? And I said, Lord, I'm just going to pick out, I was sitting next to a devotional, a bookshelf with devotionals on it. I'm just going to pick out at random one. I'm going to open it. I've got my journal here, and I'm going to write in my journal what you give me. I'll do 7 readings. And it was about a two-hour process. I'd read and then just pray, and every time it was a need, just what I needed to hear. It was all on one theme, that this is God's work. Be patient. He will do it in his time. The 6th reading was from Andrew Murray's book, The Spirit of Christ, and this is what I read. May I say to any missionary who reads this in his far-off home, be of good cheer, brother. The Holy Spirit, who is the mighty power of God, who is the presence of Jesus within thee, the Holy Spirit is with thee, is in thee. The work is his. Depend on him. Yield to him. Wait for him. The work is his. He will do it. And a summary of the readings that I wrote after I was done with all 7, which I wrote down in the journal. Keep going. Victory is sure. Don't be surprised by the testings. We fail, but God won't. Receive all that God sends. Let God be God. Wait patiently for him. This work is his. Trust, yield, pray, and wait. Keep sowing. The blessing of harvest is coming. And so needless to say, I went away from that encouraged. We, both Carol and I, have had our times of discouragement, but the Lord has been faithful to always bring us through it, out into the light, and using the very discouragement that Satan will use against us as a weapon for growth, for being encouraged in the Lord. Spiritual warfare. And a month later, just a little summary, we had gotten a call from Carol's dad. We knew her mom had cancer, and she was going to soon go to be the Lord. We went home, had 10 sweet days with her. And then on December 18th, Carol also, she was diagnosed at age 29 to have cancer. Thank God, had an operation. It was taken care of. We returned to Senegal in February, and we opened the book room in March of 1987. So this was 6 years after we had arrived in the country. Still no true believers. But I wish I could tell you their stories, but if you take One God, One Message, you can read the stories of the two guys briefly on the left. But Bruno, Frenchman, searching for truth, traveling all the way to India, and there for 1 year, and said, these people, the religions he looked into, these religions are more miserable than I am without religion. And he walked down a street, saw a side street that said, Bible House. He walked in, asked them, do you have a Bible in French? They had one copy. He picked it up. He came, continued his travels, traveled into Africa, and he walked into our book room. And 6 weeks later, he became a believer. Malik in the middle, Muslim. He's one of those guys that wanted to know where he would go when he died. He couldn't. And God led him to the book room. For 7 months, he studied the scriptures. 7 months later, he said, I've discovered that all the prophets point to Jesus, and none of them mention Muhammad, that is, in the Bible. And he became a follower of Christ. And he's the voice for our radio program today, leader in the church, so on. The other guy that came into the book room that same year, he was a little slower, but he was from a Catholic background. And he respected the Bible, but didn't really have time for it himself. He invited us, Carol and I, to come to his house and to teach the Bible to his 8 kids. And it wasn't long, and the 2 oldest twins, Rene and Sherman, they trusted Christ. And he didn't come to Christ till after 2 of those boys were buried and in heaven, because one died of a brain tumor, the other was killed in Rwanda, and he came to the Lord after all that heartache. And he just went to be the Lord in November. Praise God. And so God was building his church. And the gates of hell were not prevailing against it. There were a lot of troubles and challenges, but the Lord building his church. And eventually, the believers bought this building here and keep building onto it, because there's a lot going on inside, like a 3 years women's vocational school. And so I'll just leave that, keep moving. God is building his church. Here's Henri again. He did a prison ministry, and just that came to an end. recently when he went to be with the Lord in November. It's the last time we saw him. We were there in October for a two-week visit, and now he's with Jesus. This was at his funeral. Speaking of multiplication, there were a lot of people there, and they heard the gospel, and the testimony remains. Praise God. Another neat thing that's been happening, thinking of multiplication, is that, you know, all started in the city of San Luis, and there are a lot of villages around there. And the ones I put up there, there are believers now in at least one or two or more believers in each of these villages. So God is expanding his work out, and that means there's a testimony in these places. Not a church, necessarily, but believers who represent him. I'll just tell you about Bujuk. It's a village that Carol and I actually built a little house on, and there's ministry there back in 1999. But just recently, well, 3 years ago now, almost, that this couple, this is Henri's son, Julien, and he and his wife, and now they have four kids. They're living there, and they're representing Christ in that village, and God is at work. Mosque in that village. There's our little house we had built. Dear friend, he's lame, but he is the guardian there. He gets around, swings his body between his arms, Buba. And just building relationships. This was in 2006, actually the year that we worked on One God, One Message. It was written mostly while we were there, Carol making cupcakes for neighbors. And now, more recently, this is Julien, his wife. They live there and with their kids. They've recently built a basketball court. Sports are a great medium for the gospel. And so there's a lot of activity going on there. They have verses on the wall in Wolof. Nanga buga samorom ninga buga sabop. Love your neighbor as you love yourself is that particular verse. They'll put verses up, not just straight gospel texts, but verses from the Bible that impress people and say, wow, that's true. And discussion can begin. So that's been a useful tool and will just continue to grow to be that. Julien himself is a coach and can be a referee. And of course, they often combine the gatherings, always combine it with something that it will make people think. Including the gospel. Here was Christmas Child being carried out recently while we were there. It doesn't always happen at Christmas. It just happens. So God is building the work there and in many places. We praise him. This was at Easter, the day after Easter, Monday, Sunday, in that same village, an outreach for the kids, games and so on, hearing the gospel. There's a school there as well, a grade school, and I'll just move through this quickly, but relationships have been built with the grade school, with the kids. This is a little office that Rock built for the school just because of some of the desperate needs there in 2011. But they've wanted a wall around their school. You know, cows go through there and goats and all these things. And just for security, there's no respect without a wall like Nehemiah, you know, in Jerusalem. And so we decided at Rock International through the gifts of the Lord's people to build this wall, and it's strengthening relationships, and the people are so thankful and just amazed that finally there's government school has a wall. And one of the things that comes out of it too is that it gives access to the schools to some extent, and even they've agreed to let us give to the older kids the King of Glory book in French. So these are all open doors for the gospel. All right, God's work, multiplication, multi-language, multimedia. This is something that God put into our hearts, and he's developed it. And the stories could go on for hours and hours, but just give you a glimpse of what God did in opening a way for radio. Here's German and Rene, the two twins who are now with Jesus. But they were often the ones that would go out with me to the villages on Mondays. We called Monday our town and village day. We went to the town of Lugo one time, and into this city of 50,000 people. We went to the marketplace. And some people had these tracks, Abraham and his son in Wolof. And like a group were there, and they were starting to, Allahu Akbar, and you know, just shouting the praises of Islam. And we found torn tracks on the ground as they're flinging them into the air. That's an actual artifact from that day there. And, you know, that looks like Satan's work, and it is. But God used it in many ways. But that, it was that day that God put into my heart the idea that someone had said, an elder in our assembly back in America had said, like 5 years earlier, have you ever thought about doing radio broadcasts? And I said, well, not seriously. And he said, well, I'm going to pray for that. Well, God put into my heart that day the idea, go home and write a series, like 100 programs is eventually what it fleshed out to, that you tell the stories and message of the prophets and You let them hear it. If they don't want to listen, they can turn the radios off, but they can listen to it. And so we went literally to the main office there in Dakar of RTS Radio Television Senegal. We told them exactly we want to do a series on the stories and message of the prophets according to the Bible. And we eventually call it Yonu Njup, which means way of righteousness. And God opened that door. Long story short, we have a series over 30 years now. November 2nd this year will mark 30 years. And we began to get feedback, and I'll just give you three quickies. I've never heard anything so profound. The men are gathering at the mosque to listen to Yonu Njup. I gather my children around the radio every Monday evening. Everybody listens well, etc. Since then, God has been working. And again, the stories are many, but we started with the station in the capital, which covers pretty much all the country. And then since then, God's provided and opened doors to be on a lot of FM stations as well. At present, we're on 10 stations in the country. There's the town that we went to where they were tearing up the tracks. We went there, and this station manager, he told us, Malik is the one who goes around, but I was with Malik that day, and he said, oh, by the way, you know, you all just pay for two broadcasts a week, but I put it on for four because the people really like it. This is a Muslim station manager, or just a little bit south of that. Here's one that called and said, could you give us some of those green books, you know, all that the prophets have spoken? Yeah, because sometimes people come by and they want to know more. This is a Muslim station manager. God is at work. He opens doors that no man can shut. The Way of Righteousness is just the English translation of it, and it is now in many languages. Transworld Radio uses it as their primary tool for reaching into the Muslim world. And it's just God putting all these things together. Praise his name. Here's just one little quote I like because it says, praise the Lord, by listening to the words of God, our family members finally, you know, it's a process, 100 programs, and then you go back and start all over, creation to Christ, finally believe in the Lord Jesus after a long process. Websites, we have a website that others have put together. We just guide them a little bit because they use our resources in Wolof. This is a Wolof website, a great tool today. You know how people are with their smartphones, and they're on watching and listening and so on. 9/11, there, some of you may have been involved in putting out the flyers, and for about an 11-year period after 9/11, people were addressing envelopes. It was in CMML magazine, and finding common last names of Muslims in the United States, starting with Muhammad. There are 10,000 names, spelling it 18 different ways, seriously. And so a lot went out, and more than 5,000 books were sent, including One God, One Message was sent. After 9/11, I wrote an article called Does Islam Promote Peace? And it generated about 1,000 emails from Muslims. And those are the excerpts that we took about 30 of them and put them in the book that's out on the table there, One God, One Message. And it's just another tool that God is using to bring people to himself. I'm going to just whiz through a little bit here. The website distribution back in 2009. This is where Carol and I were in Egypt visiting our son Nathan, and you know, you really can't even give out a gospel track legally. I mean, unless someone asks for it, you could give it to them, but so just had the idea of how could we reach into the Muslim world using media, and the thought was try Facebook ads, Facebook boosts now they're called, and over a 3-year period, we had about 63,000 downloads. We paid 2 cents a click, and yeah, 63,000 downloads. Again, God multiplying his work. Then the production of the movie, again, God putting into our hearts to not only do the book, but to turn it into a movie. That was a long process, but now God is multiplying that and reaching into so many countries via these resources. You can see I'm just working through it here, probably too fast, sorry. I confess I didn't calculate how long it would take, but never quite know. And so just the resources that are out on the table, you can see the years there, I won't repeat them, when they came out, but these were all things that God put together. There are so many amazing backstories to what God has done. If you could hear all the stories of how God put the pieces together and prepared the way, and it's just, it's a God thing, completely. There's the two books by Nate, What If Jesus Meant What He Said, and Prosper, Enjoying Intimacy with God. And For This Reason is the shorter version of King of Glory. It's 100 minutes instead of 222. We cut 50 stories out of it, but it still holds together as a one-sitting version of the movie. and that's just the one I told you about, the spiritual warfare interview I did with a friend of ours from Bible College back in 1975 to 77. We reconnected with him, and it's powerful. You want insights into Satan's devices in a very open way and God's power to pursue souls and transfer them through the gospel? Don't miss that. Partnerships that God has brought to us through just these resources and people wanting them in other languages. It's Armina, the one that God led us to do all the painting in the book and a lot of it in the movie. Another guy, Andrew, God connected us. He was the key person in the creative department for the animated movie, and just others. Teams God put together at crucial times. Everyone's a story. We have a group of people that are in the older, we call the, not even the youth of old age anymore, but they're all, most of them are in the, 65 and up category. I'm turning 65 this year, and I say before that it was the youth of old age, now I'm getting to old age, but you might disagree. Our prayer has been for this work. Father, we ask you to open doors for these gospel resources, not word for word, but this is the idea of it, to find a way into the hands and hearts of those who need to understand your story and message in their heart language. And so we have these resources, and they keep getting more. We're hitting the 50 language mark on King of Glory, for example. And we just think, you know, some of them are being so used in many languages, but some are mostly ignored still. So it's something you can pray for. Pray that all of these tools will reach into the different language groups. And Spanish gets the top honors for most views, and here's just a few figures. This is interesting. 6,000 views in the first 3 years when that one was put up. It was put up on as one video. We have halves and 15 episode versions. There's over 1,000 videos on YouTube. But in the last 8 months, it's had over 1.3 million views. Only 6,000 for 3 years. How'd that happen? God is at work. 52 minutes per click. Average view time. How? Well, we can tell you a little bit on that we have a partnership with a ministry that it's like a business too. They put up Christian movies in Spanish on YouTube, and they monetize them. And so now that we're connected, they have our movie on there too, that people are coming to our site as well. And this is just on that movie that we've had these 1.3 million views. This is just looking at a few specifics, like Mexico, 27% has the most views, and I won't linger on that. But how else are people finding our movie? Here's another thing, is that like when the movie Pilgrim's Progress came out in 2020, that I noticed that, okay, there's is up there, and sometimes our movie, the thumbnail pops up next to it. And so it'd say, oh, that looks interesting, click on that. So there's the analytics of YouTube. This was a very interesting one. One of our movies in English, we noticed it had like 19,000 views in 7 years, 6 years. And all of a sudden now it's getting 10,000 views a month. And we traced it back to the fact that there's a King of Glory video game called King of Glory. Our movie was first released in June of 2015. This came out in November of 2015. So they can't ever say that, oh, you copied us. But there are 100 million players a day with this video game out there. It has nothing to do with our King of Glory. It's just a game. But it causes some people to come to our website too as ours flashes up next to it. Tech battles. There are plenty of those, and I do want to mention this because it's a spiritual warfare. You'll notice this, I'll skip the comments there. We get a lot of comments now on the YouTube, and it's thrilling what God is doing. But I want you to look at that graph above and just notice how there's all these lots of hits, right? Lots of views. And then it goes to nothing for 1 week. What happened there? Well, again, skipping the details, the copyright on all our music pieces was challenged. And incorrectly, but it was challenged. And so this happens a lot, actually. But this time, it really took a turn for the worse. Our movies were shut down. There were these video not available signs on the video. And so we had to do disputes against all those more than 1,000 videos. And there's a couple, Brother Phil, he's on our board, and Kristen, she's does some formatting for us. And we had her and her three girls there dispute them. They did it just one after another. They disputed more than 1,000 videos. And within a week, we were back up and running again. Great door opened before us. there are many adversaries. 1,000+ videos. Just the musical piece. This happened really recently. Again, people were praying. We had two pieces. You see one of them, Journey to the Golden Ark. And the very composer of it contested it. He had sent an email saying that we're going to have to reach some sort of compensation for these and so on. And would you know, the Lord's people were praying, and the next day, look what he wrote. You know what? I took a look at our agreement, and it's my mistake. We'll whitelist the music for you. God saw us through that challenge. All right, I'll let you see this one. This is just an idea God put in my heart. I saw that we had, in the month of May, this is by far the most we've had in 1 month, 5,078,000 views. So more than 500,000 views in 1 month. And I thought, how many stadiums would that fill? And that's what you're seeing up there. Could you imagine that many people coming in 1 month in all these stadiums, and they're sitting and they're going to watch the movie for an average of 37 minutes each. They're going to hear a lot of gospel content. And, well, God is the God of multiplication. Just some of the other examples, books going out, different places around the world. Here's a project we're not doing it, but we're helping it. This is a project to help the depressed people of Beirut. They're going through a great depression right now. But there are believers there that are reaching out with food and with literature, and we have our printer there for all of our Arabic resources. And so they're printing these books, and they're giving them out. And this is even the coloring book they're doing and putting French verses inside it. So Afghanistan, well, through the work of God putting into the heart of a man that works, he's from Wisconsin, in his family, his wife is Ukrainian, and they have three nice girls, but they work in these stand countries, okay? And God put it into their hearts to see King of Glory put into 7 different languages there, as you see that are marked. Afghanistan has 2 of those, Dari and Pashto, okay? There's a river there in Kyrgyzstan that means drown the infidels. In this very country, this lady came in, it's about 3 years ago now that she came in, but she had tried to kill herself more than once, and she came in, she said, she told this later, but she had decided, if I don't find the answer I'm looking for life, because I heard this is a helpful place, it's a refuge center for abused women in Kyrgyzstan. And she said, I'm going to kill myself for sure. They put her in a room, and there they let her watch King of Glory movie, and long story short, she came to Christ. A Tajik evangelist was arrested for engaging in evangelist distribution. A woman saw him and turned him into the police. He was detained. They tried to confiscate his car, but God gave Ali great boldness, and he started to share the gospel with the police. The police were so shocked by his witness that they forgot to take the car and released him. God's power trumps the police. Amen. Another story. And this is the last main thing here as far as any graphic here. But this is actually them going back in 2020 into Afghanistan. They were able to do that at that time. And they would actually get into homes and show the movie and distribute literature and a lot of different things they were doing. But I like this one, the good news in a matchbox. This was the believers in Kyrgyzstan that came up with this idea. So they're actually not Kyrgyzstan. It's one of the other stand countries. We'll just leave it vague like that. And so there are several countries bordering Afghanistan. This was back in 2020. They started doing this kind of thing. But they thought, how can we get the gospel over the border? And so they would take these SD cards with a movie on it, with a radio broadcast on it, whatever else they put on as far as content goes, maybe the scriptures, New Testament. And they would put them in these matchboxes and then throw them over the river into Afghanistan. Here's a case of it, them doing this. There is audio, but I don't have it on, so it's fine. Anyway, they're just saying that we're going to throw something over to you, and what is it? Film! And so he puts it in the matchbox, puts some stones in there, and gives it to the guy with the better arm, and he goes over and throws it over to the other side. But it's interesting, this was done before the Taliban took over. And a lot of good seed was sown in the country. So you can pray for, like this guy you'll see here, who received that. God's word is not limited, and it has been sown in many ways and continues to be there. All right, I think that's a good place to stop. A lot of work going on amongst Afghan refugees as well. And there are these business cards on the back. You can use them right here. It's good seed. Spiritual warfare. Multiplication has to do with sowing in hostile soil, doesn't it? And so just help yourself to any resources you think might be useful for you. I just want to say thank you again for just your continued prayers, and together one day we're going to rejoice at all that God has wrought. Praise his name. Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege of being workers together with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've called us to follow you, and where your servants are, there you will be also. So thank you for this privilege of following you. We know it's not really too hard to see sometimes where you're working, because we're in such a lost world, and everywhere that the word, this gospel is going out, and people are listening and hearing your word and able to understand it, and then need to trust you. Lord, we know that you're at work by your Holy Spirit, so help us to be workers together with you. We thank you for this body of believers. Pray you'll continue to encourage each one in the different opportunities and their walk with you. Lord, you're faithful, and we love you, and we stand in awe of being your children. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Thanks.